Number one is beautiful bodily features. Number two, auspicious characteristics. Number three, when someone looks very beautiful and attractive, they're pleasing. Ruchira. And what's number four? What? Number four is? That was a long time ago, like a minute or so. Effulgent. And number five, strong. Krishna's strong. A person who has extraordinary bodily strength is called Balia. What are you trying to get by?
Yeah, I gotta get the egg, please.
It's called.
Oh, I see it.
It's called Balia. When Krishna killed Aristasura, some gopis said, "My dear friends, just see how Krishna has killed Aristasura. Although he was stronger than Aristasura was stronger than a
thunderbolt.
Good guess. A mountain. Krishna plucked him up just like a piece of what?
Grass.
No. He plucked him up just like a piece of cotton. And threw him away without any difficulty. There is another passage wherein it is said, "Oh, my dear devotee of Lord Krishna, this is very appropriate for today. Listen carefully. May the left hand of Lord Krishna, which has lifted Govardhan Hill like a ball, save you from all dangers." Oh, that's pretty nice. Okay, what's the first quality? Beautiful bodily features. We'll accept attractive. Number two, auspicious characteristics. Number three, what? No, that's number four. I'll give you the Sanskrit. Ruchira.
Pleasing.
And number five. We have a lot of Shruti drawers here.
I would have never made it any other year.
The fifth one, come on. L, what's the fifth one? Strong. And now number six. Sixth quality of Krishna is ever youthful. Krishna is beautiful at his different ages, namely his childhood, his boyhood, and his youth. Out of these three, which one is the reservoir of all pleasures? His youth, very good, goes to the Russian again. His youth is the reservoir of all pleasure. And in this time, and is the time, his youth is the time when the highest varieties of devotional service are accepted. So you can do the most types of devotional service, all the different varieties in his youth, more than any other age. At that age, Krishna is full with all transcendental qualities and is engaged in his transcendental pastimes. Therefore, devotees have accepted the beginning of his youth as the most attractive feature in ecstatic love. At this age, Krishna is described as follows. The force of Krishna's youth was combined with his beautiful smile, which defeated even the beauty of what? His smile. The moon. Who said that? Well, it says the full moon, so you only get partial credit. Full moon. He was always nicely dressed in beauty, surpassing even who?
Cupid.
I was trying to get her to get that one. And he was always attracting the minds of who? The gopis, who were thereby always feeling pleasure. What number was that?
Six.
Six. Six, seven, eight. Okay, we're going to try again. One.
Beautiful
bodily features. Two. Auspicious characteristics. Three.
That's
yeah.
That's attractive.
What is it?
Pleasing.
Pleasing. Four.
Five.
Strong. Yes, strong. And six. Hey, you got the last one. That's the one everyone always forgets. And seven is wonderful linguist. Rupa Goswami says that a person who knows the languages of different countries, especially what language? What? No, especially Sanskrit, the Sanskrit language, which is spoken. Where is the Sanskrit language spoken? Yeah, in the cities of the demigods, as well as otherworldly languages, including those of what?
The animals.
The animals is called a wonderful linguist. It appears from this statement that Krishna can also speak and understand the languages of the animals. An old woman in Vrindavan, present at the time of Krishna's pastimes, once stated in surprise how wonderful it is that Krishna, who owns the hearts of all the young girls of Brajabhumi, can nicely speak the language of Brajabhumi with the gopis, while in Sanskrit he speaks with the demigods. And in the language of the animals, he can even speak with the cows and buffalo. Similarly, in the language of the Kashmir province, and with the parrots and other birds, as well as in most common languages, Krishna is so expressive. She inquired from the gopis as to how Krishna had become so expert in speaking so many different types of languages. Okay, number eight is called truthful. A person, now this is, I like this meaning of truthful. Generally we think of truthful is I don't lie, I tell the truth. Here, truthful is a person whose word of honor is never broken is called truthful. That's truthful. I say I'm going to do this, I do it. Krishna once promised Kunti, the mother of the Pandavas, that he would bring her five sons back from the battlefield of Kurukshetra. After the battle was finished, when all the Pandavas had come home, Kunti praised Krishna because his promise was so nicely fulfilled. She said, even the sunshine may one day become cool, and the moonshine one day become hot, but still, your promise will not fail. Similarly, when Krishna, along with Bhima and Arjuna, went to challenge Jarasandha, he plainly told Jarasandha that he was the eternal Krishna present along with two of the Pandavas. I think he said, I'm your eternal enemy, Krishna. That's what he actually said. Here it says, I'm the eternal Krishna. Present along with the two. What?
Eternal enemy sounds like
I think that's what he said. The story is that both Krishna and the Pandavas, in this case, Bhima and Arjun, were Kshatriyas, warrior kings. Jarasandha was also a Kshatriya and was very charitable toward the Brahmanas. Thus Krishna, who had planned to fight with Jarasandha, went to him with Bhima and Arjuna in the dress of Brahmanas. Jarasandha, being very charitable toward the Brahmanas, asked them what they wanted, and they expressed their desire to fight with him. Then Krishna, dressed as a Brahmana, declared himself to be the same Krishna who was the king's eternal enemy. It says it here too. Also, we should note, Jarasandha knew that they were not Brahmins. He knew they were Kshatriyas. How did he know they were Kshatriyas? Yeah, they had a bowstring mark on his shoulders.
They looked like Kshatriyas.
Right. They were built like Kshatriyas. Their voices were commanding. Commanding voices.
And
what?
Is there more?
I don't know if there's any more. That's the only three I could think of. There might be more, but I don't know. So what's the meaning of truthful?
Keep his word.
A person whose word of honor is never broken. Pleasing talker. A person who can speak sweetly, even with his enemy, just to pacify him, is called a pleasing talker. I want any examples in besides Krishna of somebody who's pacifying his enemy. Who?
His father.
What?
Yeah, no.
Right.
Comes along to kill him.
Right. Vasudev. Yeah, he was able to speak so nicely to him, even though he's going to kill his wife in a second. Krishna was such a pleasing talker that after defeating his enemy, Kaliya, in the water of the Jamuna, he said, my dear king of the snakes, although I have given you so much pain, please do not be dissatisfied with me. It is my duty to protect these cows, which are worshipped even by the demigods. Only in order to save them from the danger of your presence have I been obliged to banish you from this place. Kaliya was residing within the water of the Jamuna, and as a result, the back portion of that river had become poisoned. Thus, so many cows who had drunk the water had died. Therefore, Krishna, even though he was only 4 or 5 years old, dipped himself into the water, punished Kaliya very severely, and then asked him to leave the place and go elsewhere. Krishna said at that time that the cows are worshipped even by the demigods, and he practically demonstrated how to protect the cows. At least people who are in Krishna consciousness should follow in the footsteps and give all protection to the cows. Cows are worshipped not only by the demigods. Krishna himself worshipped the cows on several occasions, especially on the days of Gopastami and Govardhan Puja. So there was two references to Govardhan Puja here. One is that Krishna worshipped the cows on Govardhan Puja. And anyone remember what the other reference to Govardhan Puja was? I think it was, I'm trying to think of where it is though. Let me show you. Yes. I got it right, just letting you know, so I want full credit. It's how Krishna is strong. Let the left hand of Lord Krishna, which lifted Govardhan Hill, protect you. I'll read it exactly. May the left hand of Lord Krishna, which has lifted Govardhan Hill like a ball, save you from all dangers. It's around Radharani. Okay, fluent. A person who can speak meaningful words and with all politeness and good qualities is called Vaduka or fluent. There's a nice statement in Srimad Bhagavatam regarding Krishna speaking politely. When Krishna politely bade his father Nanda Maharaj to stop the ritualistic offerings of sacrifice to the rain god, Indra, a wife of one village cowherd man became captivated. I know you have to do it. How to do it? Maybe a saw. Yeah. What are you doing with this anyway? What are you doing with the sugar cane?
Eat it.
I'm asking, what's the sugar cane for?
To give to people. That's really? All the tradition.
Really?
You know that?
No. I've never done it. If you're going to give a people, that's pretty big pieces you're going to be giving.
Yes. Like, Maharam every year, she collects donation for that. So I have to buy.
Who collects?
Maharam. I don't know.
Do we get the donations?
Huh?
Does the donations go to the temple?
No, it goes to the sugar cane and the rest goes to the temple.
Wait, I'm lost. You're going to sell it tonight?
We are not selling, we're donating it.
And what happens with that money?
We all gave, I don't know, to her.
And what does she do with it?
To buy the sugar cane.
That makes no sense. We bought the sugar cane already.
I don't know. She loves buying it. I don't know who bought this.
Oh, he didn't buy it?
I think for her, he bought it. Whatever money collected from her, he bought it. That's all.
He collected money from her for sure.
Sorry?
I can find it. Did you pay for this sugar cane? Did you buy the sugar cane?
Yeah.
Okay. Does anybody else want to read? Because my throat is killing me.
I can try.
Okay. This goes. Make sure your hands are clean and dry before you touch the book.
I'm having trouble cutting that. I'll tell you.
Really? You having trouble? He cuts it like nothing. I'm going to go find somebody. He wants taping it here. We're up to highly learned. No, we're up to fluent. we're reading fluent, but it's just hard for me to be up to you. Well, you could start with
the whole document.
That's all what remembers.
What?
I gotta find
No,
he's
two and a half.
I'm gonna try to find somebody.
This is it.
Fluent. A person who can speak meaningful words and with all politeness and good qualities is called Vavaduka, or fluent. There is a nice statement in Srimad Bhagavatam regarding Krishna's speaking politely. When Krishna politely bade his father, Nanda Maharaj, to stop the ritualistic offering of sacrifice to the rain god, Indra, a wife of one village cowherd man became captivated. She later then thus described the speaking of Krishna to her friends. Krishna was speaking to his father so politely and gently that it was as if he were pouring nectar into the ears of all present there. After hearing such sweet words from Krishna, who will not be attracted to him? Krishna's speech, which contains all good qualities in the universe, is described in the following statement by Uddhava. The words of Krishna are so attractive that they can immediately change the heart of even his opponent. His words can immediately solve all of the questions and problems of the world. Although he does not speak very long, each and every word from his mouth contains volumes of meaning. These speeches of Krishna are very pleasing to my heart. Highly learned, number 11. When a person is highly educated and acts strictly on moral principles, he is called highly learned. A person conversant in different departments of knowledge is called educated. And because he acts on moral principles, he is called morally stout. Together, these two factors constitute learning. Krishna is receiving education from Sandipani Muni is described by Sri Narada Muni as follows. In the beginning, Lord Brahma and others are like clouds of evaporated water from the great ocean of Krishna. In other words, Brahma first received the Vedic education from Krishna as the clouds receive water from the ocean. That Vedic education or instruction which was spoken by Brahma to the world was then reposed upon the mountain of Sandipani Muni. Sandipani Muni's instructions to Krishna are like a reservoir of water on the mountain which flows as a river and goes again to mix with the source, the ocean of Krishna. To be more clear, the idea is that Krishna actually cannot be instructed by anyone, just as the ocean does not receive water from any source but itself. It only appears that the rivers are pouring water into the ocean. So it is clear that Brahma received his education from Krishna and from Brahma via the disciplic succession. This Vedic instruction was distributed. Sandipani Muni is likened to the river which is flowing down again to that same original ocean of Krishna. The Siddhas, the inhabitants of Siddhaloka, where all are born with fully developed mystic powers, and the Charanas, the inhabitants of a similar planet, pray to Krishna as follows. My Lord Govinda, the goddess of learning, is decorated with 14 kinds of educational ornaments. Her intelligence is all-pervading within the four departments of the Vedas. Her attention is always on the law books given by great sages like Manu, and she is appareled in six kinds of expert knowledge, namely Vedic evidence, grammar, astrology, rhetoric, vocabulary, and logic. Her constant friends are the supplements of the Vedas, the Puranas, and she is decorated with the final conclusion of all education. And now she has acquired an opportunity to sit with you as a class friend in school, and she is now engaged in your service. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, does not require any education, but he gives a chance to the goddess of learning to serve him. Being self-sufficient, Krishna does not require the service of any living entity, although he has many devotees. It is because Krishna is so kind and merciful that he gives everyone the opportunity to serve him as though he required the service of his devotees. Regarding his moral principles, it is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna is ruling over Vrindavan as death personified to the thieves, as pleasing bliss to the pious, as the most beautiful Cupid to the young girls, and as the most munificent personality to the poor men. He is as refreshing as the full moon to his friends, and to his opponents, he is the annihilating fire generated from Lord Shiva. Krishna is therefore the most perfect moralist in his reciprocal dealings with different kinds of persons. When he is death personified to the thieves, it is not that he is without moral principles or that he is cruel. He is still kind, because to punish the thieves with death is to exhibit the highest quality of moral principles. In Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says that he deals with different kinds of persons according to their dealings with him. Krishna's dealings with devotees and with non-devotees, although different, are equally good, because Krishna is all good, whose dealings with everyone are always good.